30 years ago this week, Giorgio and I went off to college. We're going to spend this segment talking about the rite of passage that is a kid leaving home and going to college. 30 years, first of all. Wow.
That's hard to believe.
Man. Bam. So we went to what was then called North Texas State University. We didn't know each other when we went to college, but we met on the first day of classes. Now, before we get to that famous story.
Oh, yes.
I remember going to orientation sometime in July, I think it was.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Indeed.
That was a frightening experience for me. While I was really looking forward to college and really looking forward to getting out on my own, you know, you're paired with somebody, so you've got a roommate for the first time in your life, maybe, unless you shared a room with a brother, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you're around all these kids, and there's a lot of energy, and there's a lot of confusion, and you're kind of getting a class schedule put together, and I remember orientation being very unsettling. It didn't orient me at all.
Boy,
it did not.
To me, it settled me down. I thought I was freaked out beforehand, but once I went to that and like saw some of the girls and stuff, I was like, okay, this is going to be all right. This college thing, I think I can do this.
I remember the weekend that I drove up for good and drove around town, and I had my car full of my stuff and whatever stuff you have as a kid that age.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at that point being incredibly excited. I felt like a real human being for the first time. I felt like a real adult. I felt like I had independence, and I'd always craved that when I was a kid. Even when I was three, I wanted to be out on my own. So I'm finally out on my own, and I just thought, boy, this is magical.
Yeah.
And moving into your room, and our dorm room, we were at West Hall on the far end of campus. And
Royce West Hall?
No. And David West Hall. And you, it was an old dorm, and it was three to a room.
That's what bummed me out when I realized I had two roommates.
That was pretty crowded.
So yeah. It was one bed and then a bunk bed?
Yeah, or you could separate them if you wanted to.
Yeah, you could have three singles on the ground.
But it was best probably to go with the bunk.
And we had community bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing your business in front of everybody. You're taking your showers with everybody. It was quite a culture shock.
And if you were using the turlet, you had to call out shower when you flushed, because when you did that, the water would get real cold or hot.
Hot.
Yeah, because it'd take all the cold water.
Yeah.
And it would scald the people in the showers.
So if there was someone taking a shower that you didn't like, you would all go in there and flush all seven toilets and fry the guy.
That was a good prank.
So, yeah, I remember moving in, and actually, for like the first 3 days, I had to live with our RA, our resident assistant.
I was the RA's
Krigbaum. I was his roommate.
Yeah.
And then I got moved into a regular room with three guys. And
I had RA Dickey when I was there.
Shut up.
And it was fun. It was a blast being in that dorm. And our dorm was, we had girls on the floor above us. It was a co-ed dorm.
Yeah. Oh,
and my. I don't think these exist anymore. But West Hall, there were six floors, and they were three on one side, three on the other.
I'd want to be on the sixth floor.
Four of the floors were women, and two of the floors guys. So we had it made in this dorm.
Great ratio.
And so you get your class schedule together, and you go to your first class. And my very first class, it was a Monday, Wednesday, Friday class. 30 years ago this week, I went to 9 a.m. freshman English. And I sat on one side of the room, and there were a bunch of people in there. I didn't know anybody. And the teacher looked like Paul Williams, the old composer, except it was a she.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Paula Williams?
Yeah. And so
RuPaul Williams?
I go through that class, and okay, it's fine. And it's exciting to be walking around campus with a backpack, and now you go to this building, and you're in charge of your own schedule. And
yeah.
So then the Wednesday class rolls around, freshman English, 9 o'clock. It's our second class. And so I go and I sit in my desk, and in comes George Dunham, who was in my class that Monday, but I didn't know him.
Did you recognize him from the ticket?
I didn't know him from the ticket. he and on Monday was sitting on the opposite side of the room from me, and he comes into that class that Wednesday, and he says,
"Oh no!"
He says, "I'm going to sit on this side of the room today. It's funnier over here."
And it was.
There it is.
Because on Monday,
classic origin story.
On Monday, he landed like five jokes, and I can't even remember what they were.
Public
but
jokes, like
I mean, she would ask a question, and he had like two or three really funny lines. And there's another guy over there that. Remember the guy that had the leave at the beaver joke that I thought was really funny? I can't remember that other guy's name.
Yeah, I can't either.
Hit a Larry Mondello reference, and we all thought it was really funny. So I said, yeah, I'm sitting over here. It's funnier.
And that's how Giorgio and I met.
Yeah. And then we said, wow, you live in West Hall, too? And so we started hanging out.
Wow, you're a Danny White fan, too?
Oh, man, I love Danny White.
So we had all this in common.
Only two people that bonded over Danny White.
So then Giorgio, we discovered, was on the floor below me. He was on the fourth floor, and I was on the fifth floor. And so he ended up somehow moving up the next semester, right? And living across the hall from me.
Mm-hmm. That's when I moved in with Skip.
Yeah.
So wait, who were your first...
and Grizzy.
Who were your first roommates?
Oh, no, Grizzy was across the hall.
He was across the hall with Scratch and Sniff.
Who?
Yeah, you were with Skip and Spike.
Who? These are all made-up names.
No, they're not.
Yeah, we got into the real generic thing about going to college, so we gave everybody generic nicknames around us.
Because we went to State.
wait a second. So Skip is not his real name?
No, it's Steve.
I've never known that.
And Spike was Mark.
Mm-hmm. I've never known that Skip was not that dude's real name. And I've always just heard you call him Skip. And they talked Skip lately.
In the room across the hall, it was Scratch and Sniff and Grizzy. But that was really John and Jeff and Donald.
Yeah. And we also had Blade and Russ
Grizzy?
The Bus. And,
Grizzy, his last name's Griswold or something, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, and across the hall were the drug guys. That was Russ the Bus and Doug the Bug. And Marvelous Marvin Hagler lived with them.
The real Marvelous Marvin
He looked
Hagler.
Just like Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
That was such an odd trio. And, they had their vent on their door blocked off duct tape with cardboard. Uh-oh. And on that, in magic marker, it said NTSU Bong Out Team.
And if you went into their room, they had the towel rack, you know, they had all these towels hanging, and they had the one closest to the floor, they would close the door, lock it, and they would pull back one of the towels, and there'd be about five bongs there.
Gosh.
And Russ the Bus was a straight-A student. He would come home, and he would break into our dorm room, and he would say, hey, how many of you guys can be stoned all day and get a 99 on your exam?
You hold it up proudly.
Hold it out.
Wow. Look what drugs really does to your brain.
Never understood that.
I just remember college being an absolute blast. Now, we got to North Texas the fall of 83, and that was a good time to get there because... A year earlier, they had been listed on the Rolling Stone Top 10 Party Schools list, and the drinking age was still 18?
18 or 19.
18, maybe 19.
Yeah.
And so it was a free-for-all. You had frat parties out on the lawn, and they were unpoliced, and anybody could go up there and drink. You could drink in the dorm. We had dorm parties with booze just flowing.
Yeah, we would put a keg down in the custodial closet.
And nobody,
Clarence didn't get mad.
He didn't care.
Nobody policed it. Nobody looked for IDs, anything like that. Because you know, if the drinking age was 19, most of the kids were legal,
right?
But not all of them. You know, I was 17 when I went to college, so I had a couple of years trying to use a fake ID. And but it was an absolute blast. It was so much fun, just experiencing college life.
So, how long did you guys live together? After the first semester when you lived in different rooms?
We didn't actually ever live together until our junior year when we got an apartment together.
Yeah. Yeah, the second year, I was not at North Texas. I was back home because I had way too much fun my first year.
Oh, I didn't hear this. I've never known
George
that.
Dunham.
Oh, yeah. And that was the thing. You know, I was not ready for college. There's no doubt about it. And you think, oh, well, that's failure because you go off and you just, I mean... And I did. I failed, and, you know, he and I, our days were just filled with intramural basketball and jokes. That's all we did.
If we had an intramural basketball game scheduled that evening, we took the whole day off of class.
You had to. I mean, you couldn't.
Because we didn't want to twist an ankle walking to class.
Yes. Game day. But, you know, I think looking back on it, I probably should have started off at a community college. I think some parents make the right choice by doing that.
I started off there and ended there.
There's nothing wrong with doing that. And as mad as you get at your kids when they come back after a year of failure, sometimes you got to go out and let them fail. Mm-hmm. Because while I did fail, I learned a lot that first year and had a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
A lot of, and it wasn't always, you know, it wasn't doing illegal stuff. Or it was just fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just
sports,
hanging
stuff.
Out with guys, sports stuff, eating contests. I mean, just general fun. And God, I don't think there's no way humans could have more fun than we did our first year in school.
No.
And so then you had to take a year off.
Yeah, but I mean, we stayed friends, and I'd go up there and visit him. And
he stayed on the intramural basketball team illegally.
I stayed on the intramural basketball team illegally.
And I stayed in the dorm a second year because I had so much fun in the dorm the first year. And Skip and Grizzy stayed in the dorm also with me. So we all said, yeah, let's do one more year in the dorm. Well, that turned out to be 1 year too long. We still had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And met some good people. But by the end of the second semester, I wished I had gotten an apartment, because dorm life was starting to beat us all down a little bit. 1 year in the dorm is good, but then get an apartment.
Yeah, usually by 1 or 2 years, you're ready to get out of the dorm.
And then that,
I got kicked out of the dorm my last week.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How we didn't get kicked out our freshman year is a miracle.
It is.
In fact, our RA, who's now has been a longtime Dallas policeman, was on SWAT, Dallas SWAT, the great Rich Emberlin. How he didn't kick us both out of the dorm when we were freshmen.
That shows you that he shouldn't have belonged in law enforcement. I mean, the
I
guy,
can't believe he went. Well,
if he
was
failed
ready
to kick you guys out. He's tough on, he's soft on criminals.
He was ready for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he found, you know, tomorrow or tonight's fight night. We had fight night our freshman year, and in those that little dorm room of Russ the Bus and Doug the Bug, how many people we have in there?
50.
It was packed.
It was packed, and people were betting. And because Russ the Bus had gloves,
mm-hmm.
or maybe it was Brady the Bunch.
One of them
gloves.
Did. No,
Brady the Bunch
Brady.
Did, and but Marvis Marvin Hagler didn't.
No, he
that's
didn't.
Who I fought.
Yeah, George fought him, and they both came out. We had Rocky music cranking on the speakers, and George, they each had robes on, you know, bathrobes. And people were betting and smoking and drinking, and the RA, Rich, just opens the door, sees the scene in there, can't believe it. Just shakes his head and closes the door and leaves.
Turned a blind eye to crime. Yeah. That's Rich for you.
And we were told at the time, one more slip up. I'm watching you guys. One more and you're out. And he found fight night, which was illegal. And there's no telling what was going on in that room. Somehow he didn't kick us out.
I can't tell you how many times Rich came up to George and he goes, George, you're on thin ice, man.
Sometimes he's strong. Yeah, he's always mean. He did just as much hood rat stuff as I did.
But Rich always blamed you.
Somehow, yeah.
Okay, we have to tell the legendary story of the big noise. So we would do this. It would be, so the dorm rooms were very loud, concrete walls and tile floors. So we would wait until late at night. And we would try to make the other guy across the hall laugh with the loudest, most ridiculous noise ever. So my roommate at the time was Slaw. His name, real name was John Colson, and they said he called him Coleslaw in high school, so we called him Slaw.
Yeah,
Slaw. He was a sculpture artist, so he had all this metal that he worked with. So we had these metal shelves. He loaded it with all these metal pieces, and we had stop signs and things like that, pots and pans. And then we grabbed a desk chair. And then Slaw, at the top of his voice, goes, whoa, 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 whoa. And then I threw the chair as hard as I could into the metal shelves, and it was the loudest.
So it sounded like middle of the night?
Middle of the night. Yeah. It sounded like some guy was climbing on shelves, lost his balance, and pulled them all down.
Meantime, I'm across the hallway just waiting for it because it's, hey, tonight we're doing a big noise. And so I'm just, oh, this is going to be great.
And how loud was that?
I'm telling you. You always hear this phrase, that's the hardest I've ever laughed. I went over, and I was crying. I was laughing so hard when I went over to those guys. It sounded like the building was falling down. It was so loud.
So we had to quickly pick it all up and then get in bed, and then here's a knock on the door, and it's the RA. What the hell was that?
What are you talking about? I don't know.
Yeah,
we were sleeping.
I heard something, but I don't know what it was. And he knew it was us.
But he couldn't prosecute you.
He couldn't prosecute us.
Yeah, no proof.
Oh, and the funny punctuation to the big noise was Slaw had a hubcap in there, and he took it, and he, after the noise had settled down, he spun it. So then you heard, just heard,
oh, man, that was perfect.
We had a fart tape.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Where we always had, in George's room, they had the stereo set on standby all the time with a cassette in there and a microphone. And anytime anybody had a fart, they would run in there. And Skip, for some reason, was always controlling it and holding the microphone.
Oh, he had the worst job.
Because it was his stereo, so he didn't want anyone else to touch it. So,
but he's okay with you doing that on it.
The whole idea by that was building up to what we thought would be the ultimate big noise, because we had a huge stereo in our room. And sure enough, that second semester, we unleashed the biggest of noises. We played the fart tape at its entirety.
At the loudest possible
setting. And all the black guys came down and said, man, you and my boys are crazy.
They loved it.
That's the funniest stuff I've ever heard.
We loved the fart tape. The black guys in the dorm really loved the fart tape.
Alvin, Blade, all those guys.
Horace.
Horace. Man, you guys got a fart tape.
So, whatever happened to that tape?
Well, many years later, we gave it to Alvin for a birthday present.
Mm-hmm.
And many years later, we saw him, and he says, oh, yeah, I still carry it in my car. I still listen to
it. In his car?
Yeah. This is back, you know, way back
when.
Yeah,
I don't know if he still has it or not. But we gave it to him years later at this party. All the guys there were dying laughing, and there was this mixed company.
Oh, no.
All the girls were just going, who are these two idiots who brought in a fart?
Oh, man. This was an institute of higher learning.
Yes.
Okay.
We had a prank war. That would be a whole other segment to tell you about all those pranks.
Oh, my gosh.
It was great. It was so much fun. Denton was a great little college town. I know the school's changed. I think we were there at a real sweet spot, you know, when you could still have a co-ed dorm and when the drinking age was still lower. And so it was primed for the most possible fun you could ever have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can't get away with nearly the stuff we got away with in dorms. No. I mean, they'll just kick you out.
Right.
Like, we would have been kicked out week one probably now.
My nephew went off to college this week, and another buddy of ours, Don, he called me this week and said he took his son to college.
Mm-hmm.
30 years after we all went, now these kids that we know are going, and he, like Don said, he goes, if my son has 1/10 of the fun that we had, he's going to be a lucky kid.
Yeah.
So it's a great experience. It's a lot of fun. It's scary for a lot of kids. You know, leaving home is scary for a lot of kids, and just the pressure of school and the social pressure in college.
Yeah.
Was it you guys that told me that one of your friends, his mom had done everything for him, and he didn't know how to wash his own clothes or set a thermostat?
That was Grizzy.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. He used to pay us to do stuff for him. And if he ever had to wear a tie, we'd really cross him up because we'd tie his ties in knots because they were pre-tied for him.
Yeah, so he could just slip them on over his head.
Yeah, and then we'd have to, you know,
charge him for a retie.
We'll retie it if you buy us food.
All right, so good luck to all the kids headed off to college this week. 30 years ago this week, we did the same thing. And it was a blast.